Donald Hall, Intozaki Shange, Donald Allen, Peter
Everwine. This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the poets we lost in 2018.
Ursula K. Le Guin, Sam Hamill, Tom Clark, Tony Hoagland.
On this podcast, we've been marking the end of each year by remembering some of the poets who died during the year. We can't feature them all, but we're going to hear from three of them on this episode. Mina Alexander, Lucy Brock Broido, and J.D. McClatchy. In addition to being a poet, J.D. McClatchy was a critic, a librettist, and an influential teacher. He was also an editor, and one of his projects was a series called The Voice of the Poet. These were small books featuring individual 20th century poets like Robert Lowell and Adrienne Rich, and they were packaged with an audio cassette and later with a CD of archival recordings. Oddly enough, the Poetry Foundation never recorded McClatchy himself reading his poems. I had to dig around online to find this recording.
The Emperor Augustus's favorite poet was Horace, whom he gave everything to Horace that Horace wanted. Horace was smart enough not to want very much.
This is from a reading McClatchy gave in 1993 at the Library of Congress. The first thing he read was his version of a poem by the Roman poet Horace.
This is just an instance of literary theft, something writers do better than they do other things. The poem is a very famous poem in Latin, Inter Missa Venus, in which the poet says that he's getting to be 50 years old, and he tells Venus and love to go find someone else, that he's given up on love. Go find a wonderful portrait of a kind of yuppie lawyer in Rome of the days. Go to the young man down the road who can afford you. This is just a contemporary version of this famous poem, and I think no one in this room needs to be reminded that G&T stand for gin and tonic. It's called Late Night Ode. It's over, love. Look at me pushing 50 now. Hair like grave grass growing in both ears, the piles and boggy prostate, the hanged man's penis, the sour taste of each day's first lie, and that recurrent dream of years ago, pulling a swaying bead chain of moonlight, of slipping between the cool sheets of dark along a body like my own, but blameless. What good's my cut-glass conversation now? Now I'm so effortlessly vulgar and sad. You get from life what you can shake from it? For me, it's G&T's all day and CNN. Try the blonde boy-chick lawyer, entry level at 80 grand, who pouts about the overtime, keeps Avion and a beeper in his locker at the gym, and hash in tinfoil under the office fern. There's your hound from heaven, with buccaneer curls and perfumed war paint on his nipples. His answering machine always has room for one more slurred, embarrassed call from you-know-who. Some nights, I've laughed so hard the tears won't stop. Look at me now. Why now? I long ago gave up pretending to believe anyone's memory will give as good as it gets. So why these stubborn tears? And why do I dream almost every night of holding you again, or at least of diving after you, my long gone, through the bruised, unbalanced waves?
That was J.D. McClatchy reading at the Library of Congress in 1993. You can listen to the whole recording and lots of other very historic recordings on the Library of Congress's website. Lucy Brock Broido also died this year. She was fairly young, only 61 years old. She once said that, quote, a poem is troubled into its making. It's not a thing that blooms, it's a thing that wounds. And her poems bear that out. Lucy Brock Broido had one of the most memorable voices I've ever had the pleasure of recording.
In 1968, in Pittsburgh, my father died of a massive cardiac event that happened out of the blue. He was very young. My sister and I were extremely young. And it was a devastating event.
Many years later, in 2012, Brock Broido had a poem in Poetry Magazine that starts with her father's early death. It's called Father in Drawer, and this is how she introduced it for us on tape.
My sister and I both have the last photograph of my father. He's young and handsome. He's holding a pipe. And she keeps this photograph propped on her kitchen counter in Bethesda, Maryland. And with her small children, it kept being bumped off and going to the floor. And one day she called me to tell me she had put, we called him Daddy, that she had put this photograph in an obscure utensil drawer, and that every time that she opened this drawer, she said, there was Daddy. That was what occasioned the poem, but once it began to be written, it became much more formal and much darker.
Here's that poem, which takes place in 1960s Pittsburgh and mentions some of the then toxic rivers that flowed through that city.
Father in drawer. Mouthful of earth, hair half a century silvering. Who buried him? With what? Make a fist for heart. That is the size of it. Also, directives from our DNA. The nature of his wound was the clock cicada winding down. He wound down. July, vapid, humid, sails of sailboats swelled, yellow boxes of cigars from Cuba plumped. Ring fingers fattened for a spell. Barges of coal bloomed in heat. It was when the catfish were the only fish left living in the Monongahela River. Though there were, they swore, no angels left, one was still bound in the very drawer of salt and ache and rendering, its wings wrapped in by the slink from the strap of his second wife's pearl satin slip, shimmering and still as one herring left face up in its brine and tin. The nature of his wound was muscadine and terminal. He was easy to take down as a porgy off the cold Atlantic coast. In the old city of Broad, most of the few Jews left living still may have been at supper while he died. That same July, his daughter's scales came off in every brittle tinsel color, washing to the next slow yellowed river and the next toward west, Ohio bound. This is the extent of that. I still have plenty heart.
That was Lucy Brock Broido reading Father in Drawer, which was originally published in Poetry in December of 2012. Finally, Mina Alexander. She died just recently in November. She was a memoirist and novelist as well as a poet. She was born in India and grew up in India and in Sudan. Later, she studied in England before coming to the U.S. I recorded her in 2014 in New York, and I asked her to introduce and then read her poem, Cadenza.
Oh, well, Cadenza I wrote after I saw a composer friend working on a piece that he was writing. So I had never actually seen a composer work the piano to sort of make up a piece. And I suddenly thought, oh my God, there's such a connection between the composition of poetry and the composition of music. It's actually closer to the composition of music than to making a piece of prose, like a fiction piece. You know, I mean, at least that's what I thought. So hence this poem. Cadenza. I watch your hands at the keyboard making music. one hand with a tiny jot, a birthmark, I think, where finger bone joins palm mark of the fish. Living thing in search of a watering hole set in a walled garden. Or in a field with all the fences torn, where I hear your father cry into the wind that beats against stones in a small town where you were born, its cornfields skyward pointing, never sown, never to be reaped, flagrant, immortal.
That was Mina Alexander reading Cadenza. You can read many poems by Mina Alexander, Lucy Brock-Broido, and J.D. McClatchy, and find out a lot more about them on our website, poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.